Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and alongside me is Mike.
Hey, everyone. Today is Thursday, May 28th, 2026, which means we are covering the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, May 27th, and this is episode 409. We have a really fascinating lineup today, and honestly, a lot of it centers around the growing friction between human behavior and AI integration.
We really do. We are going to talk about a viral essay from someone who is just fundamentally exhausted by talking to AI bots instead of humans. We will also look at a TechCrunch piece about what they are calling CEO AI psychosis, which ties right into that. Plus, Simon Willison makes a compelling case that Anthropic and OpenAI have finally hit true product market fit. DuckDuckGo is seeing a massive surge as users flee Google's AI overviews. And finally, a blast from the past. Last.fm is officially an independent company again.
Let us start with that top story. It got over 1,800 points, which is massive. The title is simply, "I am tired of talking to AI." It's a short but incredibly punchy post by a user named The Orchid. They outline a few recent experiences that I think a lot of us can relate to right now. They found a GitHub repo spreading malware, asked what to do, and someone replied with a copy-pasted AI response. They called it out, the comment was deleted, and then another person replied with the exact same AI text.
Right. And it goes beyond just random internet interactions. The author talks about asking their company's business owner a specific question about a task, and the boss just sends back a screenshot of a ChatGPT answer, an answer that was completely wrong and had nothing to do with the question. The boss didn't even read it, just screenshotted it and forwarded it. The author ends by saying they just want to talk to real people, but even when they do, those people are just acting as a proxy for an LLM.
The Hacker News comments on this one were so rich because it struck such a nerve. A user named Torben Fries said it feels profoundly saddening, like watching an adult being asked a question and then calling their mom to answer for them. They said there is something deeply disturbing about it that makes you feel like you are not talking to a self-sufficient entity.
I loved the comment from Jay Vanderbot, who broke down why we ask coworkers questions in the first place. It's not always just to get a factual answer formatted in Markdown with emojis. Sometimes you're asking to show respect for someone's opinion, or to share context, or to build trust. Every time someone uses AI to auto-reply to a colleague, it robs the company culture of a genuine trust-building moment.
Exactly. And another commenter pointed out that management is heavily to blame here. Managers are vaguely waving their hands, handing out AI subscriptions, and telling employees to be more productive. So employees here, you should reach for AI anytime you get an input that you can technically paste into a prompt box. It has gotten to the point where sending an AI response is almost becoming the new "let me Google that for you." It feels dismissive.
Which perfectly transitions us into our next story from TechCrunch, titled, "Tech CEOs are apparently suffering from AI psychosis." This piece really looks at the disconnect between executives and the people actually doing the work.
Yeah, this article heavily features Aaron Levy, the CEO of Box. He posted on X that CEOs are uniquely prone to AI psychosis because they are so distant from the last mile of work. A CEO will play with an AI tool, see it generate a prototype or a contract outline, and immediately assume the AI can just do the job entirely. But they aren't the ones who have to review the hallucinated code, fix the bugs, or catch the sneaky terms in a legal document.
And the consequences of this delusion are very real. The article points out that in just the first 5 months of 2026, we have seen over 115,000 tech layoffs. A lot of these companies are explicitly pointing to AI as the reason. The CEO of ClickUp laid off 22% of his staff, claiming he replaced them with 3,000 AI agents to create what he calls a 100x organization.
But the data just does not back up these massive productivity claims yet. The article cites an MIT study showing that AI agents are just not doing human quality work in a lot of cases, and probably will not reach a baseline success rate of 80 to 95% on complex tasks until around 2029. And a Harvard Business Review study noted that if everyone is using AI to generate more output, the bottleneck just shifts to the executives who have to review and authorize all that output.
It is a classic case of the hype cycle clashing with operational reality. The people on the ground, like the author of our first story, are drowning in AI slop from their coworkers, while the CEOs are looking at a dashboard thinking they have achieved peak efficiency. It is a really fascinating cultural moment in tech right now.
But on the flip side of that coin, our third story is a blog post from Simon Willison titled, "I Think Anthropic and OpenAI Have Found Product Market Fit." This one got over 700 points. Simon is arguing that despite the hype and the noise, the actual enterprise usage of tools like Claude Code and OpenAI Codex has reached a tipping point.
Yes. Simon points out that both Anthropic and OpenAI recently changed their enterprise pricing models. They moved away from these generous flat rate plans and are now charging API token prices for enterprise seats. Simon ran a script on his own laptop to see what his usage of coding agents would cost if he were paying raw API prices, and it was over $2,000 a month. But he is only paying $200 for his pro subscriptions.
He argues that coding agents are burning vastly more tokens than standard chat interfaces, and they are becoming daily drivers for highly compensated software engineers. Because of this, both companies are locking enterprise customers into API-based pricing to actually capture that value. He also scraped their job boards and found that roughly 30% of their open roles are in enterprise sales and support. They are staffing up to sell these massive contracts.
The Hacker News comments on this piece brought some much-needed financial reality to the discussion. A user named Tree Jordan did some napkin math and pointed out that the industry is currently doing a $5 to $10 trillion hardware build-out. To make that back, we need over $1 trillion a year in spending on tokens. That means something like 5 to 20% of every knowledge worker's salary would need to go toward AI tokens.
Right, and the commenter rightly asks, are we really seeing the 20 to 40% velocity increases to justify that kind of global spend? There was also a huge debate in the thread about inference costs versus training costs. We still do not have great public data on how much it actually costs these labs to serve a token versus how much they spent training the model. If inference costs are high, then this API pricing shift makes total sense because they're bleeding money on power users.
It is definitely a space to watch. Willison might be right that they have found product market fit for developers, but whether that scales to the broader economy to support a multi-trillion dollar valuation is the trillion dollar question.
Speaking of consumer pushback against AI, let us talk about our fourth story. The headline from PC Gamer is, DuckDuckGo's search saw 28% more visits after Google said people love AI mode.
This is hilarious timing. Google has been aggressively rolling out AI overviews in search, and their executives have been publicly insisting that users absolutely love the new AI mode. But the data from DuckDuckGo tells a very different story. In the week following Google's big push, DuckDuckGo's AI-free search traffic jumped by nearly 30%.
The article perfectly quotes the sentiment. People just want a choice. We are seeing this growing segment of users who are exhausted by generated summaries that hallucinate facts. They just want 10 blue links. They want to find a forum where real humans are discussing a problem. It ties right back into our first story about being tired of talking to AI. When everything on the internet becomes synthetic, the premium on authentic human curation skyrockets.
It really does. And that desire for human curation brings us perfectly to our final story of the day, which is just a wonderful piece of news. Last.fm is now independent.
Wow, Last.fm, that takes me back.
I know, right? The announcement from their support community states that ownership has changed, but the service, the accounts, the Scrabbles, and the team are all staying exactly the same. They are no longer under the corporate umbrella of CBS Interactive or Viacom, and are operating as an independent company focused fully on building listening insights and community features for music fans.
The Hacker News thread for this was pure nostalgia and joy. It got almost 700 points, and everyone was just sharing their favorite Last.fm memories and third-party tools. A user named Quirino shared some amazing visualization sites built on the Last.fm API, like Last.fm Stats, which generates racing bar charts of your listening history, and another site that shows your listening rankings by actual hours and minutes instead of just play counts.
The comments really highlighted why Last.fm is still so beloved compared to modern algorithmic playlists on Spotify or YouTube Music. A user named Will Cordero pointed out that modern streaming algorithms have terrible memory. They are incredibly biased toward recently listened music. They suggest obvious hits, and they rarely play deep cuts. If you do not actively manage your queue, you just end up in an echo chamber.
And another commenter explained why Last.fm always felt different. Back in the day, their recommendation engine was built on genuine collaborative filtering. If people who listen to the exact same obscure indie bands as you also listen to a band you have never heard of, Last.fm would recommend it. It was based on the actual varied tastes of music nerds, not just an engagement metric designed to keep you on an app.
It is so refreshing to see a beloved platform from the early Web 2.0 era get a new lease on life as an independent entity. A lot of commenters are hoping they can bring back some of the old community groups and radio features. It is a great reminder that sometimes the old ways of connecting over shared human interests are still the best.
Absolutely. And I think that is a great place to wrap up today's episode. From the exhaustion of AI-generated workplace slop to the joy of human-curated music scrabbles, it has been a fascinating snapshot of where tech culture is at right now.
Thank you all so much for tuning in to episode 409 of HN Pod. We really appreciate you spending your time with us.
We will be back tomorrow to break down the next batch of top stories from Hacker News. Until then, maybe try answering a coworker's question yourself instead of asking ChatGPT. Catch you later.